coffee, you just like to hold it. Warm it in the microwave, you'd hold it till you're old and gray. Like for a thousand days.
Hi, hello, Whipple Nation, and welcome to the Thursday edition of the Holy Commutes Podcast Morning Radio Show. The only show in Whippleball that gives you daily content from around the Whipple world. You can follow us at Twitter at Holy Commutes. Don't forget the Ian Holy. My name's Carl Coffee, and today I'm joined by Ethan Weiner, Whippleball player, freelancer, camera operator, and creator of Weiner Films. What's up, Ethan?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me on the podcast.
No problem, man. Listen, we got Tom Gannon as my sidekick. And with all new first-time guests, I have to ask this, your Wiffle origin story. How'd you get your start? And then when did you take Wiffleball from just a casual activity to an all-in competitive one?
So I remember I was looking up some video of something I heard on the radio on YouTube on like my iPad at the time, and I saw in the video called Crazy Wiffleball Pitcher, and that is the video with Joel DeRoche on Sports Science. So I clicked on it, and I was hooked from there. I remember like I went in my garage right after, like tried to find wiffle balls, and right after that, one of the recommended videos was one of the Palisades this month in wiffle ball, and it just kind of took off from there. Like I just started watching wiffle ball videos, I got hooked, and I remember I emailed Lou Levesque of Golden Stick. Oh, yeah. He like said something at the end of his email back, like keep me in the loop, and I had to keep that conversation going. And that ultimately led to, I'm like, oh, I want to watch, because I was like 12 at the time, probably. I wanted to go watch the 2014 GSWL All-Star Game. I'm like, oh, it's at Mansion Field. I'm sure it's just like a field you can look up on Google Maps or something. And we drive out to Danvers, me and my mom, we drive like an hour to Danvers. We're like, we have no idea where this is. We're at the police station. We're trying to figure it out. Like, where's Mansion Field? And my mom texts Lou Levesque the number on the website and just like, what's the address for Mansion Field? And she gets a response back of the address. So we go there. I still remember the feeling of like seeing the backstops and the walls. The walls are great. How it was blown up and everything. And I was like, oh my God, this is sick. And the three backstops. And it was just so cool. And Lou went up to me and my mom and kind of introduced himself, and it just kind of spouted from there. I played in one of the family classic tournaments that Golden Stick hosted, where you had to play with like a family member. Ended up winning that tournament. I beat Lopes in the finals when he was also just like 12 or 13 at the time. So that's kind of how I got started, was just through YouTube watching wiffleball videos. And I would watch wiffleball videos all the time. It would literally, like, as much as I could, I'd just be watching all of them on repeat, especially the ones with like the pitching and the music. So like the Video League open arms was one of my favorites, those old Fast Plastic videos put out by Troopy. I would just watch them over and over again, and it almost became my therapy. I was sad about something, I could turn to those wiffle ball videos and really feel, I'm serious, like, you know, I turn to those wiffle ball videos and just watch them and feel better, like clear my mind. And that's also kind of how I got into videography and how Weiner Films started. Because so if you go on Instagram, you search for an account called wiffle.edits. That's me. I made that in middle school, and I would download videos off YouTube, and I was trying to figure out iMovie. I would like put out these videos with the music. I was like, oh, this is cool. And then I started to get better at it, and that's kind of how I got into filming. Mm-hmm. I should say editing. Filming happened when Lou Levesque asked me to film the Yard Open in Staten Island. And I convinced my mom, drive us all the way down to Staten Island. I don't know how. So, and that's how I got started with filming. And then in high school, I filmed high school sports and I was hooked, and I started to take it a lot more seriously. It's always fun filming wiffle ball. I love filming wiffle ball.
So Ethan, you're from the wiffle heavy state of Massachusetts, getting your start in Golden Stick. And how did that transpire to finding like Maw and UWIFs?
So I played in, I would like sub in Golden Stick yard events. I would show up to watch, but I'd always like bring like balls in my shoes and stuff. Not sure I had a bat at that time. I think I got a bat for Christmas in 2015, my moonshot bat. You know, I would play in those tournaments. Like my first Instagram photo, which I'll find the date right now. I played with the Canines. I played with Elliot Noer and Cody Blake. It was in May 17th, 2015, wearing a Darrell Revis jersey to like match their colors, and like I was just a kid. And I had some good movement at the time. I threw like the main four pitches, and so I would just kind of play in those events, film those events. I couldn't hit at the time at all. I could pitch a little, and then there was also an event that I brought two of my friends up for the day. That was the day I hit my first home run, in wiffle ball and Golden Stick. That was a pretty far home run looking back on it. I hit that probably 20 feet over the fence. So that's kind of how I got started. And then the family tournaments was, I would play in the Golden Stick family tournaments, and they hosted that twice, and I won both times. I played as a two-man with my cousin the first year, and then the second year I played as a two-man with my dad, and I would pitch like every game, and we would win every game. And so 2014, 2015, 2016, fast pitch was on a decline, and with the 2015 national championship rolling around, I decided that even though I was probably too young to play a fast pitch, probably wasn't ready, I wanted to wait a little more before I started to play fast pitch, that because it's almost like the big leagues, that I was gonna put my name in the draft, because who knew if there was going to be another national championship after 2015 at the time. So I put my name in the draft, and I ended up getting drafted by 603. And so it's funny, because I remember Steffi put out a little podcast on his YouTube channel, and he was like, oh, I wonder how Ethan Wino will transition from the family tournaments to these big barrel fast pitch tournaments, and I ended up winning the tournament. And now that was, a lot of it was Pat Leahy's pitching, and all three of my teammates, they're great hitters all day and great teammates all day. But did my part, and ended up with a national championship. So that's kind of how I got started in fast pitch. From there, after that, wiffle ball kind of wasn't the priority all through high school. The priority was filming and growing liner films, filming sports, and just getting better and making connections. So it wasn't my focus. I was still playing some yard events, still playing some fast pitch events. There's a video that made House of Highlights from 2019, I believe, of me pitching in one of the Golden Stick fast pitch events. It has like 100,000 views on Twitter. Actually,
and no, a pretty sick quick pitch in there.
Yeah, I think it has 198,000 actually. The last time I checked, it's probably at 200K by now. And it does have a very nice quick pitch in there. There are some comments on my Instagram about, I posted a video on my Instagram, and there's a few comments about like the third pitch had skis. With this summer, I got really hooked again. I went to Ma on June 26th, I believe. I went down there to film. I took Dougie as well, who was playing for the meets. And that's really when I got hooked again, seeing Ma, seeing the field. And I've been hungry ever since to play everywhere and anywhere that I can with everyone and anyone that I can.
So this is what I learned about you, and this is incredible. I've been involved with the sport for almost 18 years now. You actually tore your UCL, you're a right-handed pitcher, and you learned to pitch lefty. This is pretty unique. So just walk us through this process.
So in about, I would say, August, started to have some arm issues on my right side. And in September, I kind of realized, so there's something wrong with my arm. Like, I need to get it looked at by a specialist. So I got it looked at by a specialist. I got an MRI, and I had a partial tear in my right elbow and my UCL. And that's kind of when, it always been in the back of my mind, like, I'm probably going to tear my UCL at some point. Like, I don't treat my arm that well, especially when I'm not happy, which is exactly what happened this summer. I decided, you know, this is the time I still want to throw. I like throwing. It's a very good stress reliever for me. It's a lot of fun. I'm going to see if I can throw lefty. And the first, like, 20 pitches, they looked like one of those, like, first pitch videos where, like, uncoordinated people try to throw the first pitch at MLB games, and it goes, like, 20 feet to the right. And, like, literally, like, I couldn't get the release down for a while, and it would literally go, like, probably 20 feet to the right of where I was trying to throw, excuse me. I got one strike, and I was, like, had a little movement on it. Like, I threw, like, a little drop. And I was like, hey, this is possible. I might be able to do this. But what would happen is that because I barely threw with my left arm, it would get tired really quickly. And, like, I'd start to, like, I would have pain in my elbow, similar to pain in the right side. I'm like, okay, I have to stop. You know, I only have one arm left that's not damaged. So I knew I needed to stop. And I slowly built up that endurance. I did my bands for it. When I went to physical therapy for my right side, I would do all the exercises for my left arm too, so I could build up that strength so I could throw harder. And I slowly just kept at it, and eventually I started to throw more strikes. I started, you know, the first pitch I kind of learned was a drop, and then I kind of started to get a riser to get closer to the zone, and then I started to hit the zone even more. And slowly I would just, you know, start being able to locate it more and more. I still struggle with getting my arm angle up, like the overhand. I feel very comfortable sidearm. I feel pretty comfortable submarine right now. And I'd say right now I'm throwing around, you know, yard speed, maybe 60-ish tops, maybe harder. I don't know. I haven't really been clocked other than once. And that was when I had a sore arm and I didn't have any warm-ups, and I wasn't throwing as hard as I could. So I wouldn't say it's a accurate measure of how hard I'm throwing lefty right now. And that was a month ago, so I'm probably throwing a little harder right now. But I definitely want to throw some yard with it this year, especially if I can get the knuckleball down with it. If I can throw a knuckleball lefty, then it's definitely something I can use this year. But my other pitches still have some really nice movement that I have on my right side. So if I can just locate them, then it's definitely a tool that I can use. And then who knows with fast pitch, like, I've already made it this far. If I somehow keep developing it and I can end up throwing hard with it, then I might be able to throw fast pitch lefty. I really have no idea, but at this point, you know, a lot of people, I think everyone I talked to pretty much said that I probably wouldn't be where I am now with my lefty. And so the sky's the limit. We'll have to see where it goes. But I'm definitely going to take care of this arm.
Tom, you know the player base of Wiffle better than I. Have you ever seen anything like this?
Yeah, I actually played in Texas the first time I ever went to Fast Plastic. I played with a guy named Jesse Palmore. Who actually is part of the same franchise as Ethan, funny enough. He played for Anarchy in 2019, the year after. But he threw probably mid to high 80s with his right arm, and he threw 75 with his left arm. Wow. He was pretty impressive.
It's unheard of, man. And listen, we're going to go to media. Ethan Weiner, highly involved with Wiffle Media, and he's a great player. And it's in a good place right now. We put these podcasts on National Wiffle We just hit over 40,000 downloads. That's a good number. YouTube videos pop up all the time. And now we got TikTok and Wiffle. Seem like a perfect marriage. So, Ethan, someone who puts out content, what do you think the future holds for Wiffle Media? And do you think it can get any better than this? Because in all my years, man, it's pretty high. It's pretty great.
If you look at what everyone's done so far, like, for example, the POW, the Twitch streams. I remember I put the Twitch stream on my TV, and it felt like I was watching TV. I'm not on TikTok anymore, but I've seen, like, TikTok. I've seen Wiffle Ball TikTok when I had TikTok. I remember, like, one of my friends on Discord was, like, screen sharing their TikTok, and Premier League came up on their TikTok, and I was like, no way. And it's like, this guy's, like, not an athlete. I know him through gaming. It's just crazy. But you see all these things that are happening now with media, with Wiffle Ball. You see Eric Sim did a video with one of the leagues. You see all these things happening, and you have to think that if people keep doing things right, that it will grow, because it's growing. It's growing right now. The other thing, the quality of the videos are great. When I send footage to Ben, a lot of my workflow involves filming and then sending the footage to Ben Schaefer, and Ben Schaefer does a great job with my footage, does a great job editing, great narration, great storyteller. Seeing the quality, the pure quality of those videos is so impressive. And I'm surprised those videos aren't the ones going viral and not in the little TikToks.
Yeah, I know.
I remember, I actually witnessed this when it was happening, the United Wiffle, when Ty Wegerson robbed Jimmy Cole of a home run. And Circle City put out a clip of that on their TikTok. I believe it was Circle City.
Yep.
Could be wrong.
You're right.
Yeah, no.
Remember I saw it on Instagram Reels, like, a ton. I'd look in the comments, and it would be like every part of this sequence is impressive, because it was a nasty Steffi screwball. The footage from Steffi that day, his screwball was moving a ton, and Jimmy Cole got a hold of it, and Ty made is such an impressive catch. It's such a good clip. I saw that clip everywhere for a while. Like, I feel like every day I opened up Instagram and I was on it for, like, 30 minutes or more, I saw it.
A lot of baseball accounts retweeted that, or, like, reposted that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I swear, like, every one of those, like, big baseball accounts retweeted it. And, like, I'll see, like, Haverty will, he'll put his stuff out there. I had that video back in 2019, like I said earlier. But it's how we capitalize on these opportunities that's really going to allow us to grow the game and really going to allow us to grow the sport. And I think we're doing that. I mean, you see MLW on TBS, you see all these things happening, and I think the sky's the limit, because our sport is a really fun sport. It's a very fun sport to play. It's a very fun sport to watch. We have guys throwing a plastic ball 90 miles an hour with 4 feet of movement. We have guys hitting that. Our sport is unbelievable. It's unbelievable to watch, and it would be a great product. It's going to be a great product. It already is a great product. As it continues to grow, our media is going to be a great product. Also, these podcasts are great. I just want to say, I listen to these podcasts when I drive into work. And it makes the commute so much nicer. So, you know, just seeing the same highway every day, and also driving at events, listening to these podcasts, it just makes everything easier.
You talk about media, and we have Tom on the line. And what they put out there in Vegas is some of the better live streams I've seen. But I don't think
just wait for this year, Carl.
But I don't know.
It's getting even better.
Ask Ethan this, because I don't think PLW is as big as it probably could or should be. What do you think's holding it back, Ethan, from being like ultra viral every time they pop something out?
Time. It'll get there.
Yeah.
It just needs time. Yeah, it's a new league. They're doing a lot of things right, and they're getting a lot of views compared to, like, other wiffle ball streams, and they're growing. And they're putting in time, and they're putting in resources, they're putting in money to grow it. It's gonna grow. it's going to get bigger.
Do you think, sorry to interrupt, do you think something as little as not base running is holding them back?
No.
No?
Yeah. I don't. And here's why. Because when I watch Wiffle Ball, I don't watch it for the base running. I watch it for those nasty pitches. I want to see Tevin Norris throw that riser, throw that screwball. I want to see Kayvon. I want to see all these guys throw nasty pitches.
Yeah, but that's you. You're a wiffle ball fan. Like, to go viral, you gotta get the masses of non-wiffle ball fans, and maybe something like non-base running turns them off. I'm just asking.
I'm gonna field this one as well. As you may know, I'm a huge proponent of base running. I love base running. Both the leagues I grew up playing in had base running. But the reason we can't really have base running in our league is, and we do kind of have it. You tag up from third, you actually just run home. But if we did regular base running in our league, it's just we wouldn't be able to do a 54-game season with guys in their 40s and 50s playing.
No, I get it. I'm just wondering if that's what's holding you guys back from.
No, I think what's holding us back is that the last three seasons or three and a half seasons, full year that we played, we were just making stuff up as we went along. This year, we have a plan, and it's going to be just you watch. February 7th, opening day, boys.
No, but I liked Ethan's answer. Time. It was simple. And, I mean, we see what you guys are pumping out there in Vegas. People are going to catch on, and it's not like you're putting up bad numbers. They're just not, you know, up there with MLW or I always forget the AWA out in Washington.
So. Yeah, we haven't caught the wave yet, but I'm sure it's coming. Right. And we're also putting a team out to the MLW tournament. Me, Maccabee, and Sean Merciel, PLW All-Stars, heading to Phoenix this weekend.
Well, there's your plug, but we're not done yet because I have a question for Ethan about 2022 and what Weiner Films has in store.
Oh, well, I'll definitely be at as many MAW events as I can. And my workflow for MAW is I turn around the footage, the Google Drive upload to, and I send that footage to the Cooks and Ben Schaefer, and they do what they want to do with it, and they put out some great content. It's unbelievable what they're able to do editing-wise, because I've just burnt out of the editing part of making videos. Now, I still edit here and there. I still edit for some of the universities I work for here and there. I do that. But how I'm able to contribute behind the camera I feel is so significant. How they're able to contribute with editing is crazy. They're putting out videos, they're using my footage, in such a good way. And I love seeing my footage used as well as they use it. It's just so satisfying. And like, I wanna play everywhere. Like I remember I was listening to one of your podcasts with Gannon, and you mentioned something about an East Coast team at Hometown Cup. And before that, I knew I wanted to go to Hometown Cup this year. So I called Gannon and I was like, hey, like, we're doing Hometown Cup? And he seemed pretty in. So hopefully we can find some other people.
Is it the week after or the week before NWLA? I just have to book a 1 week trip. Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm going.
Love it.
A week or two after.
So I definitely want to go. I want to go out to the Midwest. If you're listening, you're from the Midwest, and you want me to come out to some of your tournaments to film or leagues, definitely hit me up. I want to do that.
Yes.
I want to film everywhere, and I'll give you that. I'll give you the footage the next day. I did that for Orchard Grounds with Gannon.
Saw me win a championship, first time after a long drought.
And I really I love filming, and I love wiffle ball, so I want to do that. And I love being around wiffle ball too. There's a bunch of great guys in this sport, and I want to meet everyone. And I love traveling too.
Yeah, do it while you're young. I did all that when I was in my early 20s. I played in Hometown Cup in 2005. That's how old I am, and that's how long that tournament's been around. The base running tournaments, they're a lot easier when you're young, let me tell you.
Yeah.
And they need someone to video out there. Tom says it almost every podcast. There's never any video of these slow pitch tournaments. Maybe they just need Ethan out there.
Yeah, I would love to go out to these slow pitch tournaments because I want to try it.
I actually finally saw a video on Twitter that was like, it was someone hitting a home run, but it was only like 8 seconds long. Like, give me a 2 minute highlight reel, guys.
Yeah, that's like good. You see all these videos of like, one of my favorite videos is actually like, this 2012 New York Golden Stick fast pitch video, and it's just one of my like therapy videos. It's like that's the type of video that Hometown Cup needs. It's a video of just miscellaneous highlights and then the finals highlights. Yeah. I think that would be a great video for Hometown Cup, and that's something that I can definitely provide.
And like just their style, I'm sure they have some of the best defensive plays out there.
Oh my god!
Like it's just every like there's so many balls in play.
Yeah, because every you have to put the ball in play. You're putting the ball in play, and it's exactly. It's for video. Imagine if that catch at United Wiffle went viral. Imagine a compilation of catches like that from Hometown Cup. That would definitely make pages like House of Highlights and Bleacher Report and further promote our sport.
One of the things when I was there in 2020, I played it. It's not even the catches. It's those one bounce screamers that are somehow fielded perfectly, thrown to the pitcher to get the runner by a step. Just as exciting to me. But yeah, come on out to Indiana. There's some big tournaments there in July. All right, Tom already plugged his plug. Ethan, you've been a great guest. You're involved in a lot of leagues, teams. You do your videos. You get social. Plug anything you want.
I was trying to think of something better to plug, but connect with me on LinkedIn.
Okay. That's a first.
Just search Ethan Weiner. I'm definitely trying to grow my LinkedIn, and I take the industry that I'm in very seriously. So I guess I'll be probably one of the first, if not the first, person to plug my LinkedIn on the podcast. And then the other thing was, if you want me to film any wiffle ball, and anyone listening, I'd love to come out. I'd love to come out to your league. I'd love to make the trip, and I'd love to give you some quality footage.
Just gave you a follow on LinkedIn as we're talking.
Awesome.
Impressive resume. Kid works at Harvard. Harvard. What's up?
I do work at Harvard.
You know, that kind of reminds me of the time Michael Bailey plugged his Pornhub account.
Okay.
Oh my god.
All right, just like that, we're almost two weeks done with the January Season 10 Holy Commutes. Next up tomorrow, Skylar Bird. I do a show with him. We'll probably get back in February. He's going to be the Friday host of Holy Commutes, the only show in football. Gives you daily content from around the world. You can listen anywhere you get your podcasts. For Tom Gannon and Ethan Weinerm-Karl Coffee, thanks for listening. Stay safe out there.
See you.